The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, May 27th, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Another beautiful day in Sonoma County. I'm really, really excited. And today is Memorial Day, and we're going to do a special Memorial Day program honoring those who served in the military, but also a little bit of a twist. Lots have been going on, and I tried to get to do an update with the students at Sonoma State, and it's because it's the spring. I guess it's the summer break. It's a little bit hard to get folks on, so I have hopes that in the next few weeks I will be able to get some students on, and we'll be able to do a little bit of a discussion, a little update about what has happened down at Sonoma State. I know that the president had Mike Lee, that at first he had allowed the students their demands, and then they put him on leave, and then he decided to resign. So I have no idea what is happening at this point, and I'm looking forward. If there's any student out there that's listening that would like to come on the show and talk about it, of course, it's Women's Spaces. Email me at elainebholtz@gmail.com. That's E-L-A-I-N-E, middle initial B, H-O-L-T-Z, holtz@gmail.com. Well, today is Memorial Day, and so I'm going to give you a little bit of a history lesson here. You know, our history is our strength, and what's so sad to me about Memorial Day is I'm looking here, and I see, I guess, in Arlington, Virginia, where they have all the soldiers that are buried, I'm looking at all these gravestones, and I just think of all the men and now women that have given their lives for freedom, for peace, or for whatever ideology was going at the moment. Well, let's talk a little bit about Memorial Day. Today is a federal holiday, Memorial Day, originally known as Decoration Day, is a federal holiday in the United States for honoring and mourning the U.S. military personnel who died while serving in the United States Armed Forces. Now, Memorial Day started from 1868 to 1970, and then on 1971, they actually made it an official day of May 30th, and then now it's being celebrated the last Monday of May, which is today, May 27. Many people visit cemeteries and memorials on Memorial Day to honor and mourn those who died, like I said, serving in the U.S. military. And it, when you start thinking about it, we've been warring forever and ever and ever. And I came across a really interesting saying, and I thought it kind of fit in with Memorial Day, that maybe we need to enhance our education a little bit and start teaching a little bit more about peace. I found a quote by Maria Montessori. She is one of the founders of the Montessori school system. In fact, my niece, Yolanda Holtz, was very, very lucky to be able to attend the Montessori school from kindergarten all the way to to high school.
She was in a Waldorf school.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was the Waldorf. Boy, but they're kind of the same. Thanks a lot for letting me know that, Ken. I get a little bit carried away sometimes. But here's what Maria Montessori had to say. Everyone talks about peace, but no one teaches peace. In this world, you are educated for competition, and competition is the beginning of every war. When will we educate himself for cooperation and to offer each other solidarity? That day, he will be educating himself for peace. So it's kind of, let me just read that. It's very, very, this is a very interesting, think about this. Everyone talks about peace, but no one teaches peace. In this world, you are educated for competition, and competition is the beginning of every war. When He will educate himself for cooperation and to offer each other solidarity. That day he will be educating himself for peace. So what she's saying is if we start talking peace, start reading about peace, start educating ourselves, how do we have peace? I mean, we've been war, and I mean, I was born in 1940. There's been war ever since I landed on this planet. So it's just amazing. And here we are again on Memorial Day, and we're celebrating all those young people, and most of them are youth, have died in the name of peace and freedom. You know, in fact, it's so interesting, all wars are fought in the name of peace. Well, the first national observance of Memorial Day, the first time it occurred was in 1868. It was then known, like I said, as Decoration Day. And the holiday was proclaimed by Commander-in-Chief John A. Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic to honor Union soldiers who had died in the Civil War. Well, you'd think the Civil War would have actually ended it. You know, but we've been fighting ever since, and it's just mind-boggling to me that we cannot find a way to peace. You know, and in fact, I was thinking a lot about it. People talk a lot about power, and you know, one of the things about Women's Spaces, this is the last Monday of the month, and we're going to do the Women's Spaces Pledge. And the reason I like to do the pledge is because I feel it's empowering us to stand up and stand up for peace, empowering us to not be afraid to speak out when we see a wrong and we say, no, this is not right, and you protest it, or you write a letter to the editor, or you do something. That's what self-esteem does. It allows you to speak out. So this is the last of Monday of the month, so we'll do the pledge, and Ken will do it with me a little bit later in the show. And you know, when I was thinking about Memorial Day, and I start thinking about war, you know, war is all about power. War is really all about power. And about when it was during the Vietnam War, when I start really thinking about power, I start saying to myself, what does it mean? And so I have a way of taking words like power. That's how you spell power. And I'll put a little meaning. So I want to read this to you and something to think about. And also, this will be in our poetry section on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. So let's just think about this a little bit. This is a saying by Napoleon. I think this is very, very interesting. The greatest power of all is not in ruling others or commanding great wealth, but in commanding the brain's thinking process. That is where all power begins. The wonderful thing is that power is available to each of us if only we try. You know, how do we do that? What is the meaning of that? And the meaning of that is that each one of us inside has a power that we can make decisions whether to go to war or not to go to war, to have peace or whether not to have peace. I mean, we all decide these things. So what I did was I took the letters power, and this is what I came up with. Power, P. Power is purpose, ideas, dreams, goals. Any product of the mind's eye harnessed to a purpose will produce a storehouse of power. Think about that. Any product of the mind's eyes harnessed to a purpose will produce a storehouse of power. In other words, when you have a purpose and you start moving forward, and I like to put also when you have a purpose and you persist in moving forward, generally speaking, you will accomplish that purpose or that goal. Oh, think about this one. Power is open-mindedness. It is having a mind open to new ideas. It is thinking unfettered by preconceived notions. So in other words, we have to have an open mind and an open heart for peace. Because it takes a lot of power to have peace, but it takes a lot of power to have war also. And we have to ask ourselves, where are we going to put the power? Where are we going to put the energy? Where are we going to put the money? I mean, just think billions of dollars going to wars. Just think what that could do to the population, what we could have instead of this chaos and this frustration that's going on, particularly now. W, power is wisdom. It means strength tempered by good judgment combined with learning and knowledge. Power is wisdom. Think about that. It takes a wise person to sit down and start looking at how do we proceed to feast? What do we need to talk about? What do we need to have? What do we need to take away from us? You know, one thing we need to take away is we need to put our guns down. You know, that's why this ceasefire is so important. If you're warring and killing each other, you're not going to talk about peace. You have to stop, take a time out. The E in power. Power is energy. It is the engine of work, the force of human expression, the capacity for action. You know, when you start thinking about that, power is energy. And I start thinking of these young people like at universities all across the United States protesting because they want a ceasefire. It takes a lot of energy, a lot of force, you know, and a lot of belief that it can happen. But it takes that inner energy, that inner power, that inner movement. And the last one, I think, is the most important one. And Ken and I were discussing this as we were driving to the studio. Power is responsibility. The greater the power, the greater the responsibility. Power without responsibility leads to corruption and evil. Power united to responsibility is the source of good works and the increased well-being of all. Now think of that. Power is responsibility. I'm thinking right now as I read this and I think about power and responsibility, look at the power our Supreme Court has. And supposedly, when you look at the founders, you know, when I was about 15 years ago, I ran into the Federalist Papers, and I start reading them, and they were fascinating. And the Federalist Papers are discussions and letters going back and forth, a lot of them between our president, Thomas Jefferson, and Benjamin Franklin. They were having these discussions, and one of the things they did talk a lot about is responsibility. The power without responsibility, I mean, then you have corruption, you have chaos. I mean, that's why we have all these different ideas in our government of the balance of power, to make sure that not one person, although one person is trying to gain that power now, that one person doesn't claim, that person does not claim himself to be a dictator or a king. So power without responsibility, really, that's what creates corruption. Because if you're not being responsible, especially here in the United States, we all raise our right hand and take a vow to defend our Constitution. And so many violations are happening. That, to me, is power without responsibility. Power with responsibility, I believe we have a greater chance to have peace. So that's a lot to think about on this Memorial Day. And also, I just don't like the idea. It seems to me like Memorial Day becomes a celebration of all our wars and all this death. I don't feel like it's a celebration. I feel it's a deep mourning, you know, a deep mourning even inside of me that I say to myself, here, I lived on this planet for 84 years and we're still warring. So you have to ask yourself, what is it? What is it inside of each one of us? What is it in our culture that we go and we do this thing called war, and at the same time we do it irresponsibly? I mean, it's a lot to think about. And in conclusion about power, power is the ability, the vigor, the strength to influence others and to control one's own destiny. You know, I like to think of myself as being a peacemaker. You know, I mean, we call ourselves a Christian nation, and one of the things I think in the Bible it says, blessed are the peacemakers, so they shall be called the children of God. And I see a lot of people who claim to be, talk about God, are supposed to be the vicars of God, and yet they still do not engage in peace in the way I believe it has to happen. We all have to stand up and say enough is enough, particularly women. And why do I say women? I guess I repeat myself over and over and over again. Our children are the future. We must never, never lose sight of that. It's so important. And we all have the power. We have the power of vote. We have the power of our voice. And we have the ability to share and care, and that's very important, I believe, to look at. Well, before we do the pledge, Ken, I'm going to have Ken join me. I have a few announcements to make, and it looks like the League of Women Voters, boy, they're getting active again. I really appreciate them. They're going to be doing a kind of a conference, the Sheriff's Oversight in California, and that's going to be happening on, it's going to be in June 4th, 2024. That means it's going to be next Tuesday, and that'll be happening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. on Zoom. And so you can go to www.womenspaces.com, and you'll have all the information and how to get a hold of these people. And they got some pretty interesting people. Kevin McCarthy, he's the author of AB 1135, which is a real interesting, 1186. Boy, I'll tell you something. When I have my glasses on, sometimes I can't read well. We got Jason Welcher and Marshall Armwine and John Alden. Oh, John Alden. Well, that's interesting. He was on the Mayflower. John Alden. We had our
Iolero.
Well, there we go. You know, it's very, very, very interesting. John Alden. Our dear friend Keith Alden, he just made his transition on April 15th. He hated taxes. He died on tax day, I think. It's amazing. He was actually a descendant from the Mayflower. And also, we did some genealogy and found out Ken's family goes all the way back to, the Nortons go all the way back to the...
It's not the Nortons.
Who is it, Ken?
Rogers.
Oh, the Rogers, which is part of your grandmother's family, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of his grandmother. But they go all the way back there. My family, they came over from Russia, but I don't have that American background. Anyway, I have a few announcements, and then we're going to have the League of Women Voters. We'll have this event on June 4th. It sounds really very interesting. Sheriff Oversight in California. You know, it's interesting. I remember when during the Andy Lopez situation, when many of us were going to the Board of Supervisors here in Sonoma County, the word oversight became a dirty word. But I love that I see it right here. Sheriff Oversight in California, a very important word. Oversight means they look over. They make sure that they're on the up and up. So I think that's very, very interesting. We're finally getting that word out there with some respect. I have two very important announcements. The first one is on Juneteenth is coming up, which is happening on June 15th. And I'm really excited about that. I will have more announcements as we next week. But it's going to be at the Martin Luther King Park, and it's going to be happening from 9 to 6. And I'm really excited that we're going to be having the San Francisco band Pride and Joy will be playing. And, oh, my God, they are just absolutely wonderful. I hope to see everybody there. Women's Spaces will have a booth. I will be happy to give everybody out a pledge. I bring a whole bunch of them. I even will have my poetry book there. And come on by and say hello. The second announcement, very important. I want every woman, especially my fans out there, to make sure they're there and they say hello to me so I know who's listening. The California Conference for the National Organization for Women is going to be happening here in Sonoma County on August 10th. So right now, I want you to just save the date. It's going to be happening at the Church of the Roses by Montgomery Village here in Sonoma County. But I will have all the details within the next probably week or so, probably for next week's show. I'm waiting for them to send me the press release, but mark your calendars August 10th. And I'm really excited because we're going to be opening the conference with the Women's Spaces Pledge. And I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's a very, very important thing to do and a very important way to open any kind of a meeting where all of a sudden you're talking about your own self-esteem. Well, it's that time of the show, Ken. We're going to be doing the Women's Spaces Pledge. And, you know, just to let folks know, I read that pledge 5 times before I go on the air. You know, it's a lot of pressure when you think about it. Here I am now, right now, today, it's just me and Ken in the studio. It's a lot of pressure writing the script, you know, getting the show on the air. Let me get a little water here. Getting the show on the air and hoping, excuse me. Oh, that's a lot better. My goodness, my throat gets so dry. You know, we're live out here, folks. It's kind of interesting. Anyway, Ken, will you join me in doing the pledge?
I sure will.
Well, no, you know, we wrote it for our grandson, Ryan, when he was about 6 years old. He came out of a daycare crying that his teacher thought he was a bad boy. And I said to myself, wait a minute, Ryan, you're not a bad boy. You're a good boy. Your self-esteem does not depend on that teacher. And I came up with this pledge. So I'm going to say it first, Ken, just kind of listen to me, and then we'll say it together. Is that okay?
Great.
Okay, the pledge is, my self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Wow, my self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself. You know, that old saying, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. My self-esteem depends on my relation with myself and my higher power. What a powerful statement. So let's say it together, Ken. You know, and just for folks out there listening, just take it in. You know, sometimes I look at it and I think, you know, this is kind of cute. You know, I wonder what people really think about it. Although I do know when I give out a card, everybody that I go and accidentally give a second card, they always let me know, oh, no, I have it by my computer. Oh, no, I have it pinned in the bathroom. I read it every morning. So it's a good thing to wake up to really remind yourself. So let's do this together, Ken. One, two, three. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Wow. Ken, I'm just curious. You know, here it is, Memorial Day, and, you know, people thinking a lot about war and all that. What do you think of when you kind of do this pledge with me? What is it? What goes through your mind?
Reminds me where the where the authority lies within myself.
That's a real good point. The authority that you rely on yourself. So I'm going to say it one more time. Just listen to the words. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. That is such a powerful saying. So I really encourage people to say it every day to themselves. And, you know, you can get a copy. You can print it off of Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. Or if you care, if you would like to have a copy mailed to you, if you can email me at ELAINE, middle initial B, HOLTZ, @gmail.com. I will be happy to mail you a copy. So there's a lot going on in our community, and I hope people get involved. And hey, we're going to take a musical break now. Now, this musical break is going to be just a little bit different, because I'm going to play the whole song, and it's a rather long song. Okay, it really is. It really is a long song. Oh, and then when we come back, we're going to do a segment on our history is our strength. And the song I'm going to play is called Candles in the Window, and it's sung by Betsy Rose in the Women's Chorus. And I think it's a very important song. You know, we spend millions of dollars defending the horror of war, and yet when it comes to Medicare, Social Security, or anything that really benefits us, everything is a big debate. War is never a debate. We're going to war. We need money. This country needs money. I mean, I just don't understand why we think we have to be the police of the war, the United States. It's very, very interesting. But this song, it really tells a story. You know, it tells a story about what happens to people when they are part of war, how they are affected by it. And, you know, the first line is, there were candles in the window all around the world. Candles. There were candles all around the world when the planes burst into flames and the tower crumbled down. Really very powerful words. So let's go ahead and play that song. Like I said, it's a little bit long, but it's just listen to the words. We'll play probably about 4 minutes of it, Ken. So let's go ahead.
Candles, there were candles in the windows all around the world. were candles all around the world. When the planes burst into flames and the towers crumpled down, friend and enemy alike felt the trembling in the ground. The shock, it rippled around the world, the sorrow and the fright. And people we called enemies lit candles in the night. A mother in Morocco, a teacher in Tehran, a soldier in El Salvador, a child in Pakistan lit candles in their windows for strangers far away. Our common sorrow, we were family that day, and there were candles, candles, there were candles in the windows all around the world, candles, candles, there were candles all. Gone by, how little now remains of the goodwill that surrounded us in the midst of all that pain. Oh, the wars that we have started, the lives that have been lost, the trust that has been broken, how can we count the cost? Ah, but don't you still remember in the sun, the day our nation trembled and the world drew close and warm, with candles in the windows like a beacon in the storm. There were candles, candles, there were candles in the windows all around.
I swear, the last few weeks we have lit more candles than I have lit in a long time. We've had so many deaths in our little circle, and also with the wars, and it's just heartbreaking. It really is. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and you were just listening to the song Candles in the Window, sung by Betsy Ross and the Women's Choir. And I thought it was really a very appropriate song for Memorial Day. And my condolences to all the mothers and fathers out there who lost sons and daughters in the wars. And also to all those countries that are suffering right now. My heart goes out to each and every one of you. And I pray, I light a candle every day, and I pray that we, all of us, light candles for peace. And maybe someday, it just might happen. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And I am really excited. This is Memorial Day that we celebrate the last Monday in May, you know, to honor all our soldiers and also to think about maybe how we can have peace. Well, every week we do our one of my favorite segments. It's called Our History is Our Strength. And I just really, I really like that. And, you know, we're making history today, by celebrating Memorial Day, and, which started the first time in 1878. I mean, my God, when are we going to have a Memorial Day for the day we created peace? Well, like we do on this every Monday, we do the segment on Our History is Our Strength. And this Monday is some pretty interesting people, I have to say. We're looking at a special day happened on May 29th, 1943. Another part of war. It was developing the Rosie the Riveter cartoon came out on the Evening Post, the Saturday Evening Post, by drawn by Norman Rockwell, and it really was a huge success. And, you know, Rosie the Riveter was really a very liberating symbol for women, because women went back in force in the workforce. I mean, just, you know, the men were all going off to war. I mean, it was pretty heavy duty at the time. And who was going to build the airplanes? Who was going to build the boats? Who was going to build the tanks? Who was going to do the ammunition? I mean, oh my God, what it takes to go to war is just amazing. And not only that, what was so interesting about World War II, this is why I know that we can go from a war economy to a peace economy, flip, because we were not ready for World War II. And immediately, before we knew it, within 6 months, we were all geared up to go to war and to make all these horrible weapons of war. And like I said, the women went in masses back to work. In fact, what's so heartbreaking about the whole thing, but they tried it, but they weren't going to do it. They wanted us all to go back to the kitchen. And we said, no way. Now that we're out here earning our own money and we know what it feels like, we want to continue it. Well, here's the story. I love the story of Rosie the Riveter. And the whole idea is we can do it. And that was a poster that was done by Howard Miller that became associated with Rosie the Riveter. It was a media icon associated with female defense workers during World War II. Since the 1940s, Rosie the Riveter has stood as a symbol for women in the workforce and for women's independence. And, you know, they wanted us to go back when the war ended. They says, oh, they wanted us to go back. No way were we going back. You know, beginning in 1942, as an increasing number of American men were recruited for the war effort, women were needed to fill their position in factories. Initially, women workers were recruited from among the working class, but as the war production needs increased, it became necessary to recruit workers from middle-class women, all the way to very poor women. Since many of these women had not previously worked outside the home, remember, that was our whole thing at that time. You stayed home and had lots of children and took care of your men and had small children. The government not only had to convince them to enter the workforce, but they also had to provide ways for women to care for their household and children. Well, once you know that, a war comes and now they're going to have child care. Just amazing. To accomplish this, And the U.S. Office of War produced a variety of materials assigned to convince those women to enter the war production jobs as part of their patriotic duty. Rosie the Riveter was part of this propaganda campaign and became the symbol of women in the workforce during World War II. Wow. Think about that, ladies. Without us in the workforce, where do you think we'd be today? I hate to think about it. So my hat off to Rosie the Riveter and all those women who got together and formed that wonderful thing called the Women's Workforce. And we haven't gone backward ever since. We're still working. In fact, today women are everywhere you turn around. Women broadcasters. I mean, women are everywhere. And, they, of course, they want to take away our right to choose, because that's why we're everywhere, because we do have a right to choose, and we're, a lot of us are not choosing to have families anymore, and that's kind of, I guess, problematic. Well, here's a few other things that are happening that happened around May 27th. That's today, the happy birthday to Mary Freeser. She was born May 27th, 1909, and made her transition in 1997. She was an organic chemist, and she – this is so interesting. She co-worked the textbook Organic Chemistry in 1944, and the series – Regents are for Organic Synthesis in 1967 to 1994, and she constantly updated the standard laboratory references. So here was a woman who was the first, was a pioneer in organics, which is amazing. So happy birthday to Mary Freeser, organic chemistry. And here we have another woman that was born May 31st, 1912, made her transition in 1997. I hope I don't destroy this name. She was a renowned physicist, the first Chinese American elected to the National Academy of Sciences in 1958. Her name was Chin Shung Wu. And she was also the president of the American Physical Society in 1975, and she received the National Medal of Science in 1975. Amazing. Chin Shu Wu, renowned physicist, first Chinese-American elected to National Academy of Science. Born into a Chinese family. You know, just think, I mean, what this woman accomplished. I mean, again, you know, the integration and how you don't judge a book by its cover. Judge what you read first. And we'll do the last person here. This is very, very interesting. She was born in May 31st, 1928, and I guess she's still alive. Boy, that's someone I would love to check out. Her name is Sonia Pressman Fuentes. She's one of the co-founders of the National Organization for Women. And she was the first woman attorney in the office of the general counsel at the EEOC. Now, everybody must be wondering, what is the EEOC? Well, the EEOC is the United States Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, a bipartisan commission comprised of five presidentially appointed members, including the chair, vice chair, and three commissioners. So this was to make sure that we had equal opportunity in our workforce. Well, really an amazing group of women. Well, another thing that is happening also is Silent Spring. I don't have her name on here, but it's also her birthday. Rachel Carson's birthday about Silent Spring. And amazing, this woman. You know, when you start thinking about it, you know, I can't believe these tornadoes. I mean, it just blows me away. I mean, it went across almost half the nation, and the destruction was just phenomenal. And finally, on the news, they're mentioning climate change. You know, it's about time. But when you start thinking about Rachel Carson, she wrote the book Silent Spring in September 27th, 1962. And this book documented the environmental harm caused by the indiscriminate use of a type of pesticides used by soldiers during World War II. You know, a friend of hers, it was very interesting, a friend of hers wrote her, you know, who wrote the important Silent Spring was written in January 1958 by Carson's friend Olga Owens Huckes. She had the first kind of the first thing, and then what ended up happening, because there were many, many birds dying, and then what happened was Rachel Carson ended up writing the whole book, Silent Spring, and it made such an impact. I remember the first time I read it, and I remember when coming up to Sonoma County talking about this woman before who also had a birthday who started the kind of chemistry and organic. I remember going to a community market. It was owned by four lesbian women. They were just absolutely the most charming, caring women I ever met in my life. My daughter was about 9 years old at the time, the first time we went, and they're talking about organic food. And that was the first time that I even heard any discussion about Silent Spring in relationship to what the food we're eating. And here we are in 2024, and we still can't get Roundup off the shelf. And that's definitely a pesticide that's creating a lot of cancer and a lot of havoc for people. I mean, just think about it. Our dogs play in our lawns, you know, our children play in our lawns, and we're spraying this stuff. And here it was in 1968 that Rachel Carson, you know, wrote this book warning us about this, and then also talking about climate change. I hope everybody remembers on Earth Day when I have Ken come on, and he talks about when they buried a car in San Jose State. That was in 1970, and here we are, 2024, and we had the warmest climate that we've had in our history last year, and we have these tornadoes that are tearing across the land. And what, finally, we're saying is climate change, but what are we doing about it? You know, what are we doing about it? Are we standing up for it? You know, we go back to the Women's Stasis Pledge. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. That means if you stand up and people say, what are you, you're a communist or you're a socialist or you're a protest, you say, hey, I have a right to stand here and I'm a humanist. I believe in the human race and I believe that we should be protected and we should live healthy lives. That's what self-esteem. And then you realize it doesn't depend on anything outside of you, but it depends on your relationship with yourself and your willingness to stand up against all this stuff. I mean, it's so sad sometimes when I think about it. I go, ugh. But anyway, that's just me. My friend Bill Fasulis used to do that with me. Every time we would talk, he'd go, ugh. And I knew that was something that was frustrating him. Well, that's how I feel sometimes, especially when I listen to the news lately. And I think of the children of the future. And I think of what's going on, not only with war zones, but with the climate. You name it. I mean, it's one disaster after another. We got to wake up. We've got to wake up. Well, we're going to take another musical break, Ken, and we're going to play another one of my favorite songs, and I'm going to analyze it a little bit when we come back. It's called By My Silence, I Give My Consent, and it's written by Ellen Booksdale. So let's go ahead and let's play that. Ken, do we have it up in the queue?
I do.
Okay, here we go. Silence.
I'm not a communist, so when they came for the communist, I held my tongue, minded my own business like a good neighbor. I trusted that justice was done.
I didn't ask what was their crime, it was their sadness, wasn't mine. I didn't care where they were sent, for my silence I gave my consent, for my silence give my consent. I am not Jewish, so when they came for the Jews, I had nothing to say. Branded with stars like cattle in boxcars and then taken away. For my silence, I gave my
didn't care what was their crime.
Till their sorrow turned into mine. Their sorrow turned into mine.
Well, I was okay, 'cause I was a citizen.
And I was free.
I didn't care. Now there's nobody there. No one to speak out for me.
At the time I believed, it never happened to me.
I didn't know
what it meant. For my silence to give my
give my consent.
You know, this is a very interesting song because it definitely talks about the Holocaust, that, you know, at the time that it happened, no country would even accept the Jewish people when they were going through that. And the saddest part is when you think about it, it's now what's going on in Israel and Gaza, that the people of the Holocaust are actually creating so much havoc, you know, and we need to have a ceasefire. We need to sit down. We need to remember that war doesn't work. Genocide doesn't work. None of this works. What's going to work is when we sit down and we talk peace and we work on peace and we teach peace. And peace becomes the primary thing. All our films, when you look at it, are so warlike and violence. You know, what are we putting up in front of our children? You know, we need to have more things on peace, more things on cooperation, more films on compassion. All these things are so important to have peace. And when I listen to that song, By My Silence, I Give My Consent, it's a song that from the first day that I heard it, I even actually interviewed Ellen Booksdale. You can see the interview on www.womenspaces.com. You can listen to it. When I first interviewed her and she told me the history of the song, her being Jewish and myself being Jewish, and also by their silence, they gave their consent. And if we're silent, then we're giving our consent to war. And it's so interesting. It says, I'll give you a little history. It's First They Came is a poetic form of a 1946 post-war professional prose by the German Lutheran pastor Martin Niemöller. And he was born in 1892 and made his transition in 1984. And he was not opposed to the Nazis at first. It wasn't until they came for him that he began to realize. And that's when he wrote the poem. Let me read the poem. First, they came for the communists, and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me. And then they came for me, and there was no one to speak out for me. Amazing. Well, you're listening. Welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And I've been doing a commentary, which I really love. And we did the Women's Spaces Pledge. And like I said, you can go on to www.womenspaces.com, and you'll see a copy of the pledge. And also, I just read the I just read the poem by Martin Nemo. And when at the end, like he says, and when they came for me, there was no one left to take care of me. I mean, come on. You know, by our silence, we give our consent. If we're quiet about, say, for example, climate change or wars, well, they just continue. It just continues to get worse and worse and worse. Well, a lot to think about, and that's what this show is all about, I hope, is to think about things and to just kind of, you know, just think about them and stand up against war, stand up against this oppression, stand up against having homeless on the street the way we have it. I don't understand why there's such a problem. They can send out billions to some war in another land, but yet we can't solve the homeless problem. But by our silence, we give our consent. If we're not all speaking out against this stuff, you know, it's going to continue. And how can we speak out? There's several ways. One, if you don't want to do anything, just donate to an organization that follows your values. Or write a letter to the editor. Or write a poem. You know, or talk to a friend. Say, this isn't right. You know, my sister's been writing letters to other people in other cities and counties to help to give them ideas on to vote for people that are more progressive, that are more against war. So there's a lot that we can do. Well, we've come to the end of the segment, and, you know, several years ago, I had the honor, when I was on television, I had a young woman come in by the name of Linda Farrow. Linda Farrow, it just makes me cry when I think about it. Linda Farrow had a wonderful band, and she was just a great singer, just a great singer. And unfortunately, she had a stroke, and it kind of took her out of the mainstream. But I'll never forget the day that she came into the studio. It was at the community television station here in Sonoma County. And she brought this portable piano. I'll never forget us going into the studio, and she's going to play this song for us, Please Peace. She wrote this song during the Iraq War. So now let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play Please Peace, sung by Linda Farrow.
What were you thinking? What did you think we'd do? Stay small, stay silent, but think more like you. Go ahead and try to sleep tonight. We will stay awake. We will keep watching for our children's sake. And the lullaby we'll sing is please, 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 please. If you wake and listen, you will cry. And we'll keep on singing, keep on till the day we die. You will hear a mighty cry. You will hear a mighty cry. You will hear it. You will hear a mighty cry. You will hear it. Hear
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. We've been doing a radio show on Memorial Day, and I thought I would end with this very simple poem that I wrote maybe 2 or 3 months ago. It's called In Awe. What was this feeling? Is it God? Is it Jesus? Is it my higher power or the mystery? I feel so solid, so alive. I feel so solid, so knowing. I feel so fearless in faith as I walked with Ken. It is a daily ritual we both love, just Ken, Rosie, the dog, and I. A miracle that we are all together. I see Maria, my neighbor. She puts out limitation She puts out imitation flowers for every holiday. Red ones for Valentine's Day, white ones for Christmas, pink ones and yellow ones for Mother's Day. We stop. We talk for a while. Girl talk. She wants to know who did my hair. She wanted to let me know that she likes it. I tell her where to go and the cost. Maria does not speak English. I do not speak Spanish. Yet we have found a way to laugh together, talk with one another, share languages with one another. We teach one another. We both love our husbands and dogs. We are different because of our cultures, but we are the same because we are women. We know. We say goodbye and continue walking. I feel the feeling again. I feel so solid, so unafraid, so aware. Aware of the green on the trees, the cracks on the sidewalks, the beautiful rose garden. I am in awe of the great landscape, in awe of the mystery of it all, in awe. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. I want to thank you for listening and remind you once again, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. This is Elaine B. Holtz with Women's Spaces. I'm looking forward to being with you the next time.
Oh, the woman in your life, she can work.